Today, local communities are strangled by the loss of in-person banking and what you can do about it. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. I'm joined by Robbie Barwick. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Martin.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Flat out, as you know, because we've had a very busy week. And it's not over.
Well, I'm responsible this week for helping to make the news, right?
You are. So therefore, I'm going to ask you the questions.
Martin North,
welcome to your own show. This week, you wrote a letter to the Senate. Please tell the viewers what you wrote about.
Yeah, look, I've been ranting on for quite some time about the true economic costs of the removal of in-person banking in local communities across Australia, you know, regional communities and beyond.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm getting really frustrated. Locally here, we've lost a couple of our, you know, major four branches that we had from the big four. They've all gone. So we've got no local banking other than from, you know, small customer-owned banks anymore. But this is a big deal. And so the question is, what do we do about it? Well, I wrote a letter, and that letter basically says it's a really important issue, and it's not just about migration to digital. There's an economic cost to all those regional communities. So in the letter, I try to outline some of the critical issues that essentially need to be thought about, and I've directed it specifically at what I think is going to be a really important point of leverage into the Senate, because actually there's a committee that should be handling this.
Yes. The Rural and Regional Affairs and Transport Committee, RARAT, the RARAT Committee. and this is right up their alley, because I just finished recording the Citizens Party's weekly show, Martin, and I had to open with an apology, you know, a correction. And unlike the major media who print their retractions down at the bottom.
In very small print where you can't see them, yeah.
I opened with this retraction because last week in our show, I had told our viewers that in the last 5 weeks then, since the government had published the Regional Banking Task Force report on bank branch closures, 22 banks had closed.
Mm.
And I thought that was terrible. Well, it turns out I was wrong. 72 banks have closed in now 6 weeks. 72, almost as many in 6 weeks as in the whole of 2021 combined. And, of course, these figures come from the person I'm starting to think of as the great Dale Webster, a journalist, independent journalist extraordinaire. No wonder she's won awards for her work, because Dale has documented this exhaustively. She's documented more accurately than the regulator who's paid to document it does. And she has revealed this, 72 branches. And, of course, because she's done so much work, Dale co-signed your letter to the Senate committee, the RARAT committee, because we need that committee to urgently conduct an inquiry into this issue. What we had in the Regional Banking Task Force is a farce. And that's the nicest thing you can say about it. It's extraordinary. We're having this discussion 6 weeks after the government published a task force report on this subject. And what we're saying is not that that task force report wasn't good enough. It was worse than if they had have done nothing at all. This was a sham fabricated by the banks to justify their approach. And it did not look at all the issues, including whether the banks are justified in shutting these branches in the first place. The task force wasn't set up to look at that.
Yeah.
And consequently, its message was, get used to it. Banks are going to shut their branches. Maybe we banks will communicate it better. And are we then surprised that in the 6 weeks after that, the banks have gone on a branch shutting spree?
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is a trend which has been growing, but is now accelerated to fever pitch. And more communities are essentially left with no banking facilities locally. And in fact, in the this is the first part of the letter, right? And basically, Dale and I said, we write as concerned individuals with expertise on the issue of regional bank closures to bring to your attention matters we feel so serious they demand immediate scrutiny by parliamentary representatives. Communities across Australia are currently experiencing severe economic and social disruption due to bank closures impacting small businesses and charities dependent on cash supply and processing, businesses including farms needing credit and specialised banking services, and customers dependent on the certainty of face-to-face banking services, including the elderly, disabled and First Nations people. So that was sort of how the thing started. And I just want to add, there's another interesting observation here. Quite often, and there's a lot of fraud around out there, and a lot of it's online fraud, right? In my surveys, I'm seeing a lot of people saying, I couldn't find anybody to talk to face-to-face to deal with this fraud issue that I'm trying to deal with.
Yeah.
So not only have you got economic issues, but you've also got, this is actually a really important, you know, face-to-face facility to deal with fraud issues too. And so if the regional task force that was done and their waffle about, well, everybody's moving to digital and everything's fine, completely misses the point. I mean, it was stacked with people who were in favour of the big, you know, the big players and in favour of the current banking system and everything else. But there's a really critical economic and social issue here. This is about the future of these communities, because research around the world shows that when the banking services disappear, the economic health of the community degrades and often disappears. And so that's what we are now facing. Actually, this mass closure of branches is leading to significant economic damage across the country. And we need the Senate to really take a note of this. That's why the Standing Committee on Rural and Regional Affairs and Transport, what a name, is totally relevant here. So we sent this letter yesterday to all the members on the committee.
And what we need is for everyone watching this show who's supportive of this issue, I'm sure you all are, this is one of those times we need you to send emails and make phone calls. So I'll actually be in Parliament next week for the first week of the last sitting of the year. We're going to be pushing for that committee to respond to this letter by moving a motion. Now, we know there are people on the committee who support this. You interviewed Senator Jared Rennick earlier this week, and he's on that committee. And Jared Rennick absolutely supports this inquiry, so he's going to be pushing for it.
And just on that, Jared was interesting, because in my show, I sort of started talking to him about the business impact, right? And he sort of understood it, but hadn't processed it before. Obviously, busy guy. And so he thought, wow, now that's a really important additional, you know, thread to the argument.
Oh, it is. People should get, if you haven't watched the Jared Rennick interview, go watch it. And I was, I remarked upon that as well, because I first read about the impact on businesses from the standpoint of cash and security, the security concerns. Because if you take away the bank from the regional town, they're still going to be trading in cash because they have no alternative, right? You cannot rely on the power and the communications infrastructure out there. They've got to use cash, so they're going to be trading in cash. So you take away the bank, which is the place they can safely put their cash overnight, you will be creating security issues in those towns, or forcing those small business people to drive hundreds of kilometres to the next place to do their banking, right? That's what you're doing to those towns. And this is a serious, serious problem. So Jared saw it in those terms, but Dale Webster raised this in her first big article she wrote on this issue last year. Yep. Because in her work, she went to all these towns, she saw that the banks had been withdrawn, but the cash was still dominating. Cash is king, and it was stockpiling in those places. And at a certain point, I mean, maybe we should whisper this because we don't want to tip off organized crime, but at a certain point, it will attract the wrong attention from the elements that, you know, are predators. Look for this kind of stuff, right? This is what the banks are exposed in their communities to. So anyway, it's every facet. The list you just read there in the letter is quite important. I've had a lot to do with the discussion, as you have, Martin, about Cooper Pedy. And it was described to me in Technicolor. Cooper Pedy is going to lose Westpac in February, its last bank. But get this one. not only, if you look at Coober Pedy on the map, and I've got this beautiful map of Australia here. So 540 kilometres from the nearest town with a bank, which is Port Augusta at the top of the Gulf. 540 kilometres. So when Westpac loses this bank, the people of Coober Pedy who need to go to a bank will have to go 540 kilometres to a bank. But worse than that, above Coober Pedy, you have a whole bunch of other towns like Marla, which is more than 200 kilometres north of Coober Pedy. There's a licensed post office there. The proprietor of that licensed post office spoke to one of our members and pointed out that when she needs to get cash, she goes to Coober Pedy to do her banking. Yep. Now she will have to go 700, 800 kilometres to find a bank, right? This is crazy stuff, what the massive disruption that the banks are doing. And so you can get these descriptions, just ask around. Don't tune out of this discussion if you live in a capital city and say, oh, this doesn't really apply to me. Now, what you're talking about here is not just the service and the withdrawal of the service and the inconvenience. You're talking about your financial institution too is being two-faced. And if they're going to be two-faced to the whole of regional Australia, the million people who live in regional Australia, they're capable of being two-faced to you. And what we need is a system that where the government steps in more and says, no, there's got to be some social license here. There's got to be some quid pro quo, right? We prop you banks up in a big way. You will not be allowed to abandon the people who need your services out in regional Australia. And that's why, just back to the inquiry, because I think this is very important. I can get you a list, Martin, we can put in below, to all the contact details of all the senators in Australia. What I suggest people do is call every senator in your state or phone or email them and say, we need you to support an inquiry, the Martin North Dale Webster call for an inquiry into regional bank closures. And do that in this next week, right? While I'm in Parliament and we'll have other people in Parliament helping to lobby for such a thing, this is the action you can take. Make those calls. Let's get this inquiry going. So what is very important about this call for an inquiry that you've made, Martin, is you've included a suggested terms of reference. And in that terms of reference is an item which puts a very fine point on this whole process, because it's the second last one there that you've just brought up. The case for establishing a new government bank through the post office network to guarantee face-to-face banking services to all communities and to increase genuine competition in the banking system. Because if this inquiry can include that as well, right, where it puts the banks on notice, hey guys, we're looking for alternatives. We're not looking for technological alternatives to in-person banking. No, we're looking for alternatives to you bastards who think you have the right to a mass abandon regional communities and then expect that you'll keep them as customers either digitally or through Bank at Post. Now, Bank at Post is an agency service. That's not a postal bank. That's an agency service for the existing banks. And in fact, the bank strategy, Martin, is entirely premised on exploiting, sponging off the licensees who own the post offices and the taxpayers who own Australia Post, because they, National Australia Bank, in its own letter, its own submission to this farcical regional banking task force, made a big point of saying that they have assessed the post offices and those post offices can absorb up to 90% of all branch transactions. Hang on a cotton picking minute. These banks are telling us that they're shutting these branches because everyone's moving online. They have hardly any transactions at branches. Why do they need Australia Post to be able to absorb 90% of them? Because they're full of it. They know people need face-to-face banking. They're pulling out. They expect the Bank at Post service to absorb all these abandoned customers, but they'll keep them because they'll be able to access their accounts through Bank at Post. If you had a postal bank, then the banks have a different calculus, because they will realize, hang on, there's going to be a bank here that's going to be in 4,300 outlets around Australia, the biggest retail footprint of any agency in Australia, and that will guarantee the service of banking first and foremost. All banking services, full banking services, face to face in perpetuity, because that's the purpose of setting up a postal bank. And if we keep abandoning communities, we're not going to keep those customers. We're going to lose them to the postal bank. Watch them change their behavior if we can force them to do this. And that's why if we're getting this inquiry to include that in the terms of reference is a genius move, and it'll put a fine point on it. So please, this is the really important part of this discussion is you, when you finish it, getting on the phone, sending emails, click on the list of all the senders in your state to ask them to support this.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, really, really important. And just to give you a bit of international context, there's an article in The Guardian, right, which is worth just referring on. This is actually relating to guaranteeing in-person banking in the UK. In the UK, The Guardian says about half of branches have disappeared. And so Labour, who's in opposition in the UK, is now planning to force a vote on guaranteeing in-person banking across the country following swathes of branch closures that left local communities without face-to-face services. Regards it an essential in-person services, including new accounts, applying for loans, making receiving payments, and setting up standing orders. It's not just an Australian problem we've got here, right? This is actually an international issue, right? Around the world, banks are doing the same thing. But we're going down the slide even quicker than the UK.
Yeah, we've the UK, I think, since 2015, have lost about half their branches. Yep. We've lost two-thirds of our branches over a bit of a long period of time. We've lost two-thirds of our branches in Australia. I was talking to Dale Webster about the electorate of Grey, which is the electorate that Cooper Petey's in. Grey is one of those very big outback electorates, massive. It takes up most of South Australia. She described it as a bank desert. It has lost the most banks of any electorate, federal electorate in Australia. 80% of all banks in the electorate of Grey have shut since 1975. 80%. So we are going down this at a rate of knots, gathering speed based on what's happened in the last 6 weeks. Yet look at Europe and what you've just raised there. And it's not just Europe. The Swedes have had to do similar things, the Danes, etc. There was this mad rush to digital, Martin, and the mad embrace of we can go cashless now. We've got the technology to go cashless. And all they've ended up with is severe problems. And so the governments, consistently, there are governments in Europe that are now legislating, and this British Labour Party amendment is the latest example, to push the pendulum back. It's gone way too far the other way. Because I think there's a principle here about people need to understand about technology. Good technological advances don't have to be forced on anybody. Hmm. People take them up. They want to take them up. But banking is a special thing. It's not as simple as saying, oh, technology, right? You've got a technological alternative. No, I think there's always the need for certainty in banking. It's a very important transaction. Your whole financial security, which is the basis of your whole sense of identity and security, depends on the certainty of that transaction. Face-to-face, and it's more true for the older people, but it's a truth for everybody. Face-to-face, you get certainty in your transaction. The person who has the, you can trust because they're employed by the bank, right? On the other side of the counter, and if they are a crook, and they do that person, that individual somehow steals your money, the bank will honor it, right? So you know you can trust that transaction when you do it inside the bank. You're being asked to now do it online. Now, for someone like me, I can do both quite easily, right? And I understand the parameters of online banking, and I'm sure a lot of people here do that. But imagine you have a more complicated problem that you need solved. Imagine like some of the submissions to the Regional Banking Task Force were pointing out that, say, the businesses and farms in regional Australia, where we have a lot of productive enterprises in agriculture, and these are million-dollar enterprises, they need specialised banking services. You can't do it online. They need to talk to someone. And talking to someone over the phone, I mean, is always much different than talking to them face-to-face. Martin, I fly all around the country to meet face-to-face people that I can talk to over the phone. Why do I do that? right? Klaus Schwab's bloody Great Reset, we can all work from home. Go shove it up, you know what? I mean, it's, you know, we'll do that more, but face-to-face is a world of difference, right? When you can have these discussions face-to-face. Bank, specialized big business, not even big business, small business, but impressive businesses, farmers, et cetera, out in rent, they need those kind of services. They can't do that face-to-face. The vulnerable, the elderly, I just ranted on our show about this. You know, the banks, but as we did on the live discussion on your show a few weeks ago, the banks are bragging. They've got, you know, 90% of their customers registered for online banking, but only about 25% of them are using it, are their active users. You've got little old grandmas walking out of they go into the bank. The banks have put the tellers under excruciating pressure, and I've had this told to me firsthand, under excruciating pressure, similar to the kind of pressures they had them on that came out of the Royal Commission about incentivizing them to sell products to their customers. This time, they're pressuring them to sign their customers up to digital banking. So the little old grandmas will be walking out of banks all around Australia with pieces of paper that's got their username and password on it. No real clue what it's for, except the day they get a phone call from somebody with a funny accent, but claiming their name is Fred. And Fred will say, oh, I'm calling because there's something wrong with your computer and I'm here to help you fix it. Oh, really? Oh, thank you. So just turn your computer on. Okay. And have you got this little app? Yeah, yeah. Click on Commonwealth Bank app. Okay. Did the bank give you a name and a number to put in there? Oh, yeah. Just read that out to me, please. Right. And voila, you've taken people that had 100% security for their transactions. They're now exposed to all of that. And they know ahead of time they are, Martin, and it's absolutely terrifying to them, right? And these are the reasons that a place like the UK, which is smaller than the state of Victoria, there's 70 million people there, it's highly densely populated, they could afford all the best communications infrastructure in the world, but it's not just about that. It's about the need. You actually have a need for face-to-face services.
Absolutely.
And that's what they're acknowledging.
Yeah. And just on that, it's worth looking at the second half of the article. Labour is pushing for cash-free access amid fears the legislation may result in consumers paying fees for withdrawals from cash machines. They said we welcome the government, after years of delay, has finally announced that we're bringing forward access to cash legislation. But then they said that bill doesn't protect face-to-face banking or free access to cash services. It's inevitable that payment banking systems will continue to innovate, but the Conservatives' failure to protect the services risk cutting off millions of people from essential goods and services. Treasury spokesperson confirmed that the government will bring forward access to cash legislation, although they didn't directly comment on Labour's proposal, right? But interestingly, the amendment is the latest addition to the wide-ranging bill, which is broadly aimed at overhauling Citi regulation, originally inherited from the EU. If passed, it would give regulators a secondary objective of promoting the competitive UK firms. So this is also about competition, all those things that you said as well, right? So it's interesting that the stars are aligning, not just here in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the UK, so this is a really big and important, and I think we're at a very important inflection point now. So if we can get the Senate to actually take this seriously and start looking into this the way we've explained it, in terms of, you know, access to banking services, the economic impact, all of those things. And by the way, branches are being removed from not just regional areas but in suburban areas too. So don't think just because you're close to a city, it won't be your problem. It'll be your problem next week if it's not this week, right?
Because it's not quite as dramatic as, say, a Coober Pedy, but for every suburb that loses their last bank in those suburbs, yep, it is a huge disruption, including to those small businesses.
Absolutely. I was going to say, a lot of small businesses work local, and yep, the last thing they need to do is to then drive into the centre of town to be able to deal with the banking. So this is a really important opportunity. And, you know, we do this a few times a year, Robbie, when we've got a really burning issue. But this is a really burning platform. The next few days will be really important. So I'm going to make available a copy of the submission,
yep,
for download, and I'll put a link below. We'll put a list of the various senators, and our plea is, if you care about this, if you care about the economic prosperity of Australia and Australians and businesses in Australia, pick up the phone or send an email to the senators in your state and say, we need to have a really thorough look at the removal of banking services and the consequences, the economic consequences in those communities, and the fact that we need a different model of banking to provide the services that we need for future prosperity.
And can I finish on this point? One of the things that, I know influences the UK Labour Party to push this, and by the way, they actually developed their own proposal for a postal banking system in the UK a couple of years ago. It's really, really good. I was quite impressed, and we borrowed liberally from that when we've developed our proposal. But there was a turning point after 2008 where suddenly, when it came to the banks having to survive, the government was there to bail them out and prop them up, right? And so it became much more aggressive from the public. Well, hang on, where's the payback for that, right? You then turn around, you take this public subsidy, you turn around and you screw us all. You know, what gives here? And people aren't taking it lying. They're not accepting the free market arguments, the neoliberal arguments. They're not taking it lying down. And similar here, we had this, you put it on your channel. What's his name? Matt Canavan, who, by the way, is the chair of the committee that you've written to, right? Mm-hmm. So we hope Matt will chair this inquiry. Yep. Matt Canavan asked this extraordinary question to the RBA, are you bankrupt? And the RBA revealed, no, we're not, because for only one reason, we are backed by the government of Australia, right? And create money.
And we can create our own money. We can print our own money, right?
That's right. We can create money. Now, but then later on in that discussion, and then when Senator Jared Rennick was asking the Reserve Bank, the issue that both of them highlighted was, what's the RBA doing with that money it's creating? It's propping up these same banks to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars in free money, which I think, if I got this right, I saw one of your comments, that translates into, in terms of their profit and loss statement, pure profit of at least $6 billion a year, right? This is extraordinary. And those are the banks that, in order to maximize their profits even more, are shutting these branches down, right? Yep. So they do not have the slightest bit of sympathy. And I'm raising this because I know that this issue of the need for an inquiry was raised with one senator on the Conservative side. And he didn't oppose an inquiry, but he had this knee-jerk reflex response saying, as long as it doesn't undermine the commercial realities of banking. Well, what I'm intervening on that discussion now, because the commercial realities of banking, yeah, banks shouldn't be forced to do something that's unprofitable, but bear in mind how much they're being propped up by us, the taxpayer.
Absolutely.
Right? So no sympathy. We need services, because if the services are there, the economy will flourish. You take the services away, withers and dies. That's why everybody in Australia, not just people in regional communities, need to help us on this campaign.
Yeah, and just to underscore, you know, banks in Australia have an implicit guarantee from the government. That's one of the reasons why the international markets rate them as they do. Yeah. They get all of this support financially and from a tax perspective as well, so funding facility and other things too. And yet what they're doing is basically messing over regional communities, the people who absolutely need those services. There has to be a social license to operate and to provide the services that Australians need. And just saying it's too expensive to do it is not acceptable. So here's an opportunity to, again, make a difference, as we try to do. And I'm pretty encouraged by some of the support we're getting already. So, and as I say, the international story is quite similar too. So, Robbie, great conversation today.
Thanks,
we'll
Martin.
Put links and things below. And
go hard, people.
Once again, folks, it's over to you. Make a difference.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Martin.
Cheers.